At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi Uncle, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's the campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, Alice wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the three of five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Messi & Co. This is my first time doing the introduction of everyone. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my amazing co-hosts, Gian and Matt from SoFlo Soccer. Welcome to this episode. Wow, first time. That was exciting. How are we doing?
All good. That felt good. That felt good. Yeah. I feel good.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've said hosts.
Co-hosts, I know.
It's a nice feeling. It's good. It's good. I'm happy to be here. Obviously, the post game show talking about the Sporting KC match, but all is good. I'm here at home, chilling, happy to talk Inter Miami. It's been taking it easy this week, and looking forward to the weekend. We got another game coming up. But how are you guys? You guys doing good?
All good. Nice and warm. Nice and sunny, South Florida, yeah. Compared to the negative 15 degree whatever weather over happening here. So no, we're taking it easy. I'm very excited to be a co-host now, so thank you guys, and I'm very happy to be here and talk more into Miami and talk about this game. What about you, Ashley?
Hell yeah, I love it. Yeah, I thank you guys for holding it down last time. I know I was away for a little while, but I'm back, and I'm excited. We started finally like competitive Inter Miami matches with last night in the freezing, the frozen tundra, as they would say for the Green Bay Packers. The frozen tundra is what was last night in Kansas City. I was in Nashville last weekend, and it was snowing in like 28 degrees, and I was freezing. So to think it was 40 degrees colder than that, like the simple mind cannot comprehend.
That's awful. No, wow. It's awful. I was thinking to myself, like I remember here in Miami, got down to, when I was playing 11v11, I remember one game, it was like 40 degrees. Not even, like, that doesn't seem cold to many other people maybe, but 40 degrees here in Miami is like Antarctica. And I remember sitting on the bench, getting ready for the game. And the moment they blew the whistle and the coach said to get on the pitch, I didn't even want to stand up. Like, that was awful. Like, I to take my jacket off to get on the pitch, like, I can't even imagine what they went through. During that game, that's awful.
You can see the amount of layers that they had on, right?
Do you see when Mascherano first came out though? When Mascherano came out
with like a little, like,
yeah, and a little sweater. I'm like, this guy's not gonna last 5 minutes. They panned away from him, and he panned back like 10 minutes later. And he was like,
"He's gone."
That's crazy. And the cold that goes in, like when you breathe that cold, especially playing, it's a weird feeling in your lungs. It almost feels like you're like, I don't know, like you're injured or something. I don't know. It's an ugly feeling. Like if you're bleeding, it's weird. I don't know if you've ever played it.
When it's too cold. Yeah. Like when I played, I used to play in New York a lot. When it was that cold, I never played in that cold before. I don't think anybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes when it's like a little bit cold, it's very nice to breathe in because you get that free flowing air compared to the suffocating heat. But in those conditions, I couldn't even imagine like how how they must have done it, but
it hurts.
It yeah, props yeah. to them.
It looked. I honestly, it made me laugh. Like, you know, I felt bad for them, but I just the minute when Messi walked over to the three refs and they're lining up, and you see his body full shiver, like his extremities shaking, and he goes to the ref. He's like, "This is." I laughed because I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be tough.
Jack in Titanic when he's hanging in the water.
He was literal shivering, the full body chill. But man, I'll tell you what, you could see it at first, but as soon as they started growing into the game, and you know everyone was running. I mean, maybe they were hiding it really well. I'm sure they were hiding it well. You couldn't really see it. You know, they managed to still play pretty – everything wasn't as crisp and perfect, and obviously we're going to go into that. But you wouldn't know, in my opinion, that it was that temperature and everyone was, like, handicapped just by looking at it. Like, they were still running, kicking, et cetera. You know, they made do, and they ended up with the win. Inter Miami 1-0 with what was an absolutely – incredible goal from Lionel Messi, especially in those conditions. That just makes you go, it's not fair. It's not fair what he can do compared to everyone else. And with the right foot. Yeah. So there's a lot of different things I want us to get into. You know, it was a really exciting first game. Let's start with maybe some debuts that we saw on this game, in this competitive game. Obviously, preseason, we saw a lot of players debut, but last night, due to a couple of different factors, you know, some injuries, some et cetera, we saw the debut of Allende, Segovia, and Lujan in on all three phases. Actually, you had your attacker, midfielder, and defender all play. And just, you know, what were some initial thoughts, and who do you think maybe stood out, didn't stand out, or, you know, or jury yet to be seen?
Go ahead, Matt. Take it.
No, go first.
Cool.
No,
Matt. Go.
Okay. For me, so I mean, with Tadeo and Segovia, it was good to see them. They're clearly going to be our main wingers for probably the entire season. So it was good to see them out there, see what they could do from a competitive standpoint in a non-friendly game. And I mean, you did see them, like, you know, running up and down the field a lot. There was a, you know, pretty you can clearly tell that Mascherano is looking for a specific style, really heavily relying on like Messi and Suarez to kind of give those passes out wide to those players. So I thought that was we saw a lot of that. In terms of Lujan with his debut, I thought he didn't have the best day, but I didn't think he had the worst day either. I thought he played well. He did his job correctly, and we saw him on the left side this time, left side at center back. Sometimes even replaced Noah Allen at that left back spot when Noah would get up the field. So it's very clean very sheet, interesting though. To see. Say again.
Clean sheet, right? So I mean,
we got a clean sheet. So the defense did their job and it did well. So I'm happy with start. It. I can't complain.
Yeah, look, I think anything that we talk about today or whatever maybe fans are thinking, it's kind of with a grain of salt just because of the fact that it was very difficult to play under those conditions. And I think mm-hmm. to properly yeah. evaluate a team that is going into a Champions Cup game without playing a single season game
yep.
is a team that's probably not a well-oiled machine yet, despite having five preseason games and playing or six, I can't remember now, but playing against maybe some not the really the top teams or the top competition until maybe Orlando at the end. So I think that this is still a team that's in development. It's still a team that's trying to find a new identity with Mascherano, with players that haven't played, again, a single season game together with the official team. So when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing guys like Lujan that you mentioned. Lujan is still a guy that I think is not even sure if he's going to be a starter yet. When Maxi Falcón comes in, which he was there at the game, we had maybe a little bit of hope that he may start. He ended up not playing. You also have, you know, Ian Frey that, as Ashley and I as she mentioned on the WhatsApp chat, like, don't you dare put him into that game with that type of weather, especially
please,
being so injury
God,
prone
was,
and taking
like,
care of himself.
Him
yeah. So Lujan, I think, is still playing with that kind of uncertainty, but he looked okay. I don't think he really shined or anything like that. But you guys said a clean sheet, which I think is probably the biggest thing that we should take away from the defense during that, you know, that game. And talking about Telasco, I think maybe showed a little bit more in that Orlando game, but he didn't do too much, I think, in my eyes, this game. He definitely tried. He's a guy that usually is as creative and that sort of thing. But when you have a pitch like the one to Kansas City, which, again, you're playing in what feels like -9 degrees, and the pitch itself, like the actual field, didn't look good. I felt like the ball wasn't rolling particularly well. I think that really kind of limited his game, his play style. And then who else were we talking about? Maybe Tadeo Allende was also struggling a bit. I mean, he did have a few runs in and that sort of thing. But overall, I don't think any of the guys that we have coming into this team, the new guys, I don't think any of them really underperformed. I just think that they just were in a game where they weren't able to shine. It was really difficult. Even Messi, when we'll talk about him, even he was uncharacteristic in some of the things that he did because of how difficult it was to play in that game.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think, you know, the jury's probably still out in terms of like how it's going to be for the whole entire season. I thought, you know, in the first half, I thought Allende did a good job of trying to create and to be a nuisance and to push and to be active in what were obviously very tough conditions. We can say that. Obviously, we can say that 100 more times this episode. I think we all know the conditions were difficult. They were all cold. I think they said the field was heated, but obviously the ball's probably feeling like 100 pounds. You know, the breathing is difficult. But I liked what I saw in the first half. I thought in the second half he fell out a little bit. Segovia, I thought he was okay. I think I don't know if I necessarily see him like holding his weight in that part of the pitch quite yet. But, you know, with different conditions, like maybe Saturday, you know, we'll see something a little different. And yeah, Luján, I feel very similarly that what you guys said in that he was good enough where it was a clean sheet. You know, nothing went crazy past him on a couple of those runs down the right-hand side for Kansas City's right-hand wing. He, you know, he was able to track back and meet them and didn't let anyone slip behind him. So in that sense, you know, that's all you could ask for. Without Jordy, you see obviously a very different setup and a different balance of the team. There was no Yannick Bright, couple others that you'll see probably a little bit different balance and a little bit different responsibilities that we all kind of agree is left to be seen. Checking out some highlights. Yeah, that looks how any of them headed the ball. Honestly, they all deserve, like, every time someone headed a ball, I'm like, they deserve 100,000 per header. Like, you seemed like you were seconds away from your head falling off. It looked
and awful. I will say anytime you get hit in that kind of weather, whether it's heading the ball or just getting a normal foul is like 10 times worse in that type of weather. Everything hurts so much. Like if you get beamed by the ball or anything like that, it really does sting. And I think you saw quite a few fouls last night that maybe looked harsher or that maybe the players reacted to a lot more that you were like, oh, what, you know, it didn't look that bad. And that's why it's just, everything is just more difficult in that type of weather, even the injuries and the fouls. I don't know. And I also, I don't know if you guys felt like when I was watching the game, at least more so at the beginning, I felt like it was a bit, in Spanish they say like trabado, like it was very, like there was a lot of fouls, like there was a lot of the whistle.
Messi
was,
got racked, you know, in that early. That was a,
I was just gonna really say that. Messi got absolutely rocked in the middle, and it gave me flashbacks to that preseason tackle. I'm like, oh my god, not again. But but no, he got up like a G, because he got up and he was like, nah, this is, I'm fine.
He got up fairly quickly.
Yeah, no, he did get up quick.
I think that was mind over matter thing. You can't like let yourself sit on the, it's like you could feel hurt and you could like stay on the ground like you normally would to try and, you know, get a yell or something. But then you get so cold and your body seizes up and he's like, I need to get up.
Like, yeah. Imagine laying down in that cold. Yeah, no, absolutely no way.
No.
All right. Well, so those were some of the debuts. Let's talk about what we thought were maybe some really good performances, if you have any. I mean, like we said, a game where you don't judge things as normal. I'll start. I'll give a player, and we were kind of going back and forth in the chat, but someone who I thought played really well was Federico Redondo. I thought he had someone who we've been talking about a lot, thinking that, you know, he needs to be maybe put on the bench or get a little bit more competition or show his weight a little bit more based on what was, you know, his what people thought about him after last season. I will say I thought he was incredibly active, taking up a lot of ground in really good positions, defensively trying to create offense, stopping counterattacks, you know, for a game that wasn't as pretty as normal, or, you know, where you're not seeing 90, you know, crosses on the box and all this, you know, exciting stuff. He played his role, in my opinion, in a really strong way, and I was very happy with that. And if we see that version of Redondo throughout the season, then I think we have a very balanced midfield, and him and Busquets seem to space out really well. And look, it was no, you know, like Ballon d'Or performance, but it was, I noticed during the game, and I'm like, you know what, hats off. I thought it was a really good start.
Like when you, especially I think now, everybody I feel like knows that Mascherano is going to be choosing Federico Redondo and Sergio Busquets as his two midfielders. And I think that's just going to be a fact. I think Redondo realized like, okay, like I need to play to a certain standard. I think that somehow or in some way that clicked in his head. And we've definitely seen, at least I definitely saw that Redondo has improved his performances over time. Cause I've been not that I've been hating on him, but I've had his expectations all the way up here because I know how good of a player he can be. And all of his performances have been like either mid or below average for the most part. I think that last night and even in some of the preseason games, he's definitely improved his game. And like you said, he looked really, really good in spite of all of the difficult conditions of the day of the pitch. And even though he did get a yellow card, it was well-deserved. It was a tactical foul, whatever. But honestly, I think that he is significantly improved. And if he continues to do that throughout the rest of the season, we're going to have probably one of the best midfielders in the league.
That's just he definitely did his job, I think, yesterday. I think that more so in the defensive area than anything else, I think he was really good in closing up those middle gaps and recovering the ball and being able to play it pretty quickly, I think. So I really liked how he looked with Busquets. One of the things that I also saw, just like you, Matt, going into like at the beginning of the season, I was very underwhelmed by Redondo, and I expected more from him. So I'm glad to see him have a good game, first official game. So I was pretty happy about that. And look, obviously, we talk a lot about Yannick Bright and how he's a guy that many people, including myself, have said that he should start alongside Busquets. But the more and more I see and I look at Redondo, if he's able to keep this up and continue to progress and have a performance like yesterday and obviously better and better weather conditions, I think that it's more about Yannick Bright being a starter in certain conditions, right? Depending who they're playing. And that's probably how Mascherano is going to approach this season is I have two starters. It's Busquets and Yannick or Busquets and Redondo. It depends who I'm playing. And it also, the playing time is you know, apart from who's going to actually start, the playing time is going to really depend on what the situation is on the field. Right now, when you were playing against Kansas City, it was a game that was really like backyard soccer, right? There was not a lot of finesse, not a lot of accuracy. We saw a lot of players that were making errant passes that don't usually make those type of passes. And that was something that was also happening on Kansas City's side. So for me, like you didn't really need a Yannick Bright because there wasn't too much enough of an offensive, I think, a danger coming from Kansas City where you needed more defense, right? You needed to put in a really tough stopper. I think Redondo worked perfectly. Now, if it would have been a bit different, maybe conditions were different. Maybe they were really attacking us down the middle and there were a lot of holes. I think really quickly, Mascherano knows what he has. And he would have called Yannick Bright to go in. Yesterday was not a Yannick Bright game. And Redondo really, I think, impressed. And I hope he really does, because that also opens up the door for Busquets, who was really, really good last game.
Yeah.
And if Redondo can do that and Busquets doesn't have to worry about closing those gaps in the midfield, he can worry on serving the ball to Messi, which we know he did. And that's just, I think that's just going to open up the game for Miami.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, look, I think, like, if you, you know, I think saying guns in my head is probably a bit of an extreme extreme saying in this situation. But, you know, if I had to choose between Redondo and Bright, I would choose Bright. However, knowing that we have a lot of games this season, a lot of competition, a lot of, like you said, different circumstances, I think Yannick Bright will get plenty of playing time, and you'll see good rotation there. I think if the partnership between Busquets and Redondo can continue to grow and solidify, great. So yeah, I think he deserved the mention, because we all have been sometimes a little harsh on him, especially last season. But last night he really showed up. So I hope he continues the trend. Another player who I thought really showed up, surprise, surprise, was Messi. let me just say something about Lionel Messi. And wow, I mean, we say this often. This is not going to be new, but he's 37 years old. He's won everything you can win in football. He is the greatest to ever play the game. And still, on a night like last night, first competitive game of the season, did he have to play? No. If he really didn't want to play, did he have to? No. Did he think, you know, oh, I we can let them get, you know, if they score, if they have a little bit of a better game with us, we'll get them back on Tuesday. Could he have said any of those things? Honestly, yes. And I don't think all of us would be too upset. But not only did he show up, he played like it was not negative 7 degrees. I mean, yeah, a couple errant passes and shots that you'd normally expect him to bank. But consistently creating opportunities, consistently getting the ball near the halfway line and running and creating and not acting like the weather was affecting him. And then scoring a tremendous goal that on any day you'd be like, wow, what a goal. The way he got the ball on his right foot, freaking moved past a defender and scored in the bottom corner with his right foot. It was just, God, what else can we expect out of this guy? I was like, you know what? He showed up and he started the season with what the team needed, which was on a really strong note, being the talisman, the leader of this team and of the league.
Yeah, you can't doubt Messi. Yeah, no, that was beautiful. Oscar worthy. I think you can never doubt Messi. I mean, obviously there were reports out there that he didn't want to play or that they rescheduled the game and that sort of thing. And look, at the end of the day, I was like, he doesn't want to play in the cold. Well, duh. Like, I don't know. That wasn't that much of a report to me. Some people took issue with it. I wouldn't want to play in that weather, and that's understandable. But when it comes down to whether he was going to play or not, he was going to play at the end of the day. He was, whether he wanted to or not, he was going to be on that pitch. There was no way he was going to go into the first Champions Cup game and not play with his teammates there. And like, he was going to sit down and let Suarez and Busquets go out there as a captain and not be on the pitch. Like, that was never going to happen, right? And I think he showed up. Obviously, he was the MVP of the match. He was the highest rated player. He did everything you needed him to do. Not only did he score, but he conducted the game. We were talking about this in our chat, the three of us, how Messi under Mascherano is the type of guy that's not going to stay up top and just wait for you to put the ball and serve the ball to him and then just try to finish. He's the guy that's going to go down into the defense really deep and pick up the ball and be the guy that initiates that offense from the very beginning. He's the guy that starts from the back and then gets the ball up front and scores. He does everything. And this is a new dimension of Messi in Inter Miami, a dimension that we've seen him play in other parts of his career. Like I always say, an ever-evolving player, whatever you need from him, he's going to deliver. And he did that yesterday. And I wasn't surprised. That beautiful goal that you described, Ashley, just the way that he stops the ball, brings it down, controls it, takes the player, and finishes with the right. That was not an easy goal to do. Not in those conditions. Not on that pitch. It's definitely a beautiful goal. And I think that, you know, here we go again. Messi saving the team. The one lone goal that gets us over the top. We've seen it many times. And I think that this won't be the last time we see it.
No, absolutely not. You couldn't have said it any better. You stole the words right out of my mouth, especially the fact that there were so many people online just being like, oh, they're moving the dates because Messi doesn't want to play. They're rescheduling the dates because I'm like, guys, don't. Dale, por favor.
No.
It's like, so, yeah, no. And honestly, and for them to be playing, for Messi to put the performance that he did, Beating the leader that he is, being the GOAT that he is, and playing with a rock of a ball, because like I know for a fact that ball was not easy to kick around, and we clearly saw that last night.
It
was hard to put some passes together, some long range, short range, whatever the case may be, and for him to receive that pass from like, oh, was it like a whatever 20 yard pass or whatever it was, from Boosie to chest that down to make the turn, right foot, weak shot, finish, bottom left corner. It is only the best of the best can do that. And we saw that from Lionel Messi. And then we're probably going to be seeing him do that all season long. And this is just day one. I'm really excited for it. He was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing to witness.
Yeah, we need to see this goal. We need to see this goal again. I mean,
look at from where he passed that. Look at the control. He got by two defenders and he places it precisely in that bottom left corner. Doesn't even look at the goal. He didn't look at the goal one time.
Didn't look at the goal, yeah. And that hurt. That had to have hurt his chest. Like, that had to have hurt. But just a perfectly placed ball, perfectly, I mean, the way he settled it with his left, and just so elegant. He's so elegant with what he does.
And that ball looked like, in the moment, I will say, in the moment, I did see Boosie's pass, and I was confused, though, if it was going to Allende, because Allende was right behind Messi. Yeah. But then when I saw Messi bring that down, I was like, okay, we're good.
It's like they say something with the NFL, like, F it, throw it up. He's there somewhere, right? Like, that's kind of what it felt like. I had something I wanted to say, and like, honestly, there was, you know, a very viral tweet that had been going out for the last week that was like,
warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even, like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Yeah, but could Messi do it, you know, in Stoke on a Tuesday night? And that's basically it's like a British thing where, like, you know, it's in this cold, wet, I mean, I don't want to say gross, so maybe people from Stoke watching us, but not the nicest city, and cold, wet, dark, like not the most fun place to be. Like, yeah, Messi's the greatest of all time, but is he going to do it on a Tuesday night there? Yes, he will. He and it won't even be a question because he still looked like the best player on the field by like so many margins that you just go, wow, Messi and Co. Here we go.
I will say after the game when they did give him his, I think his MVP award, and he was taking the picture, like he looked like he just went through like a cryotherapy session, like at a really like luxurious spa, because his skin was just like so perfect. Red, yeah. Like it was all, yeah. Like it literally looked like he went through a spa session, like pure cryotherapy. Like he maybe didn't feel good during the game, but after he must have had like the softest skin and just been like so rejuvenated. But like I'm interested to see what he looks like on Saturday. Probably gonna look even better. But yeah, Messi, you just can't doubt him. And it's the hair. I mean, he definitely does look better because there were a lot of criticisms early on when he came to Miami. Like, who is this barber? Like, he was getting these crazy fades that it was like a midlife crisis. Yeah. Like a midlife crisis fade where he was trying to look like he was in high school. Like, so I'm glad. This is probably one of the better hairstyles. Yeah.
No, the hair is worth at least 10 to 12 goals. I believe that. I really do believe that. Same with, I felt the same way about Campana. When he had the long hair, that was at least 10 to 12 goals. So yeah, I mean, what a performance from Lionel Messi. I think we all expect, you know, much more to come and to continue that. So shout out to him. Maybe on the other end of the spectrum, though, players that maybe, and again, I think we do need to say that there has to be a couple quotations. There has to be a little bit of a, you know, can't judge this 100% based on what we saw. But performances that didn't stack up to what the other team was producing. And I'll let Matt start. Who is your – I'll make you start with a player you didn't think played well. Welcome to Messi.
Yes. You said who, on the other hand, who played well?
Who didn't play well.
Who didn't play well. And I've been saying it since day one, and I'm going to continue to say it. I'm going to continue to say it. And that is Chelo Wengant. Chelo Wengant did not play well. I'll break it down. He didn't play well in the very beginning. He looked atrocious, and I think we all could agree on that. I don't think anybody can argue with me on that one. His passing wasn't good. He was losing the ball a couple of times. He just looked lost in wherever he went, whether it was forward or back, whatever the case may be. Second half, he did look a little bit better. It still just wasn't up to par, in my opinion, still. It was better than what he did in the first half. It just wasn't. It still wasn't there. It's really, really, like, I can't emphasize it enough. I don't think he's a terrible player, but he needs to be benched for a game. I'm so, so surprised that this guy has not been benched by Julian Gressel, by Ian Frey, by, like, literally anybody that we have with the stacked roster that we have. But no, I thought Chelo Wengant could have been better. I don't want to bash him too hard, which I felt like I already did. But yeah, I definitely, he could have done better. And that's what I think.
I think the job security that Chelo has is the job security 99% of Americans wish they had in corporate America, because he can do no wrong. He can go in and steal Mascherano's lunch right out of the fridge, and he will not see that bench. Like, it is incredible. Like, I think that, like, I'm trying to see, like, okay, here's my biggest issue. My biggest issue is, like, I know Inter Miami isn't Barcelona. They're not a Premier League team. They're not, but they're trying to be a team of the world. They're going out and doing all these tours. They want to be, they want to bring in the big names. They want to play like the biggest teams. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that, you have to play like the big teams. And what do the big teams have? They have left backs and right backs that can go up the left or right flank, can face one-to-one, face somebody, take them off. I'm talking about like, and maybe there's a lot of Barcelona examples here because I watched a lot of them, but I'm talking about like Balde on the left or Koundé on the right. Like, they can go up the flank and they can take anybody off the dribble, create space, and put in a good center. Okay, you have Jordi on the left, right? Jordi maybe can't take people one-on-one, but he can put those precision passes into Messi, knows exactly where he's going to be. On the other hand, you got Chelo on the right. Chelo on the right, offensively, is near non-existent. I think we can all agree on that. There's nothing he can really do. He can't take anybody one-on-one. He can't demand the attention of a defender on the other end because they know he's not really a threat. So that really closes up the space for anybody who's in the middle or center forwards, or whether it's Tadeo or it's the, you know, whoever's on that side. It closes a space for them because they don't have to, those left backs or right back, however it is, don't have to open up wide. On the other hand, he can't center. He's not a good center. That's why when you bring up Gressel, Matt, like, Gressel can play right back. I don't know how he stands up defensively against Chelo, but it's not like Chelo's like outstanding defensively either. At least you have that with Gressel. He can put in this pinpoint centers. We've seen golazos with Gressel doing that. Ian Frey also does the same thing. He's a scoring threat, and he can actually take some people. I mean, he may not be the fastest, but he's got some nice moves that he can do. So I don't understand, when you look at Chelo, what he really brings to the table, where he's like a staple in that starting lineup where you can't take him out. And going back to what I said previously, when you're looking at these big teams, you need somebody on that wing that can really take one player. The moment you take one player off, you know, then you have that open space where you can do a lot of things. And I just think that's what we lack, and that's one of the keys to this offense that we need. So I know we're talking about defense, but it also bleeds into the offense at the same time.
That's just the modern game now.
It's the modern game. You need fast guys, right? So we'll see what Tata does with Chelo. I'm not going to say he's terrible.
We'll be interesting to see what Tata does, since he doesn't coach for us anymore.
Not Tata. Yeah, you see, I'm still with the ghost of Tata. It's funny,
still lingers.
I think,
he's still lingers.
You know what I'm thinking about Tata? Because I saw him for the first time, a video of him since he left Inter Miami 2 days ago, wishing a new coach in Ecuador, Argentinian coach, good luck. And actually, he looked really good. He looked good. He looked happy. I think Inter Miami had him stressed, man, because in this video, he looked like 10 years younger. Like, so that's probably why I remember Tata, good old Tata, man. It was a nice guy. I really, really enjoyed his time. Oh, but yeah, funny. Those are the thoughts on Chelo.
Look, I, you know, Matt, if you didn't say it, I would have said it. It's true. I mean, compared to really everyone, I don't think Noah Allen had a great game, but I think he was also the position he was in and having to go up and really act like the left winger. I think it was asking a lot. I, you know, he had some good moments, but I don't think he was the worst by any means. I think Chelo, especially in that first like 20 minutes, was really, really below par. And just to like give context, you know, I maybe just because I watch them a lot, I'm going to use Tottenham and as an example here. A player who is, I think, has the very similar skill set and purpose, Pedro Porro, okay? The Spanish international who plays right back for Tottenham. They both have very similar jobs. I think that Pedro has more talent and ability in like his left foot than like Chelo does. And that's just like showing like the difference. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold has more talent and ability in his hand. I mean, like it's really, I think when you look at like people who are as direct comparisons and competitors, and yeah, look, it's MLS. There are other aspects of the roster that are obviously the priority for this team. You can't be Real Madrid, right? Or Barcelona, where every single player is the greatest to play in their position. I think we know that. But within the team, you have abilities to improve. Maybe it's coming back from injury. Maybe they're just trying to be strategic. Ian Frey is so much better on the ball than Chelo. And for what is not, I think, that much of a defensive speed difference, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like I was saying last night, like there are some defensive players that they're so good at defense, you don't care as much that, you know, maybe they're not perfect offense, especially when on your counterpart you have Jordi Alba, who you know is. That is sometimes the case, but his defense isn't good enough to be able to warrant that, you know, that scale, in my opinion. And so obviously not expecting him to be, you know, the same talent as people who are playing for Tottenham or Liverpool or Real Madrid. But
I was going to say, man, we're going to get roasted for comparing him to Trent Alexander-Arnold. And,
well, no, but that's Koundé, what I'm saying. It's such a different.
It's only an example. It's not.
I just meant to say in terms of like the playing style and like what you're asking out of him, you see the disparity, right? And those jobs that you want him to do as the specific right back in this specific system, just the little skill sets, I think, are just much below par. And I really want Ian Frey in there.
Yeah.
But I also understand why Ian Frey doesn't play, because like, I guess we don't want to make the same mistake we did from last year, where we played him. He was looking good. We gave him more minutes and then boom, he was gone. So I understand why Ian Frey doesn't play. And I don't think that would have been the best situation in this specific game, right? For Ian Frey to play. Mm-hmm. And under those conditions, I'd rather not. I'd rather see him play Saturday or Tuesday. But I agree with you. And there's also the standard of like, we have Chelo. He's an international player. He takes up that slot. He's literally have not hit the bench since he got here. And we have, and Noah Allen on the, on the other hand, you didn't think he had a good game. I thought he had a great. This kid is a 20-year-old youth academy product. This guy is not even supposed to be on the roster. Like, Noah Allen is playing with the likes of Messi, Busi, Suarez. He's playing with international stars like Avilés, like now Luján, and with Martinez before, now with Chelo and whatever. He is standing. For me personally, he stands out to everyone else. He is significantly improved, and I personally believe that he should be fighting for a starting spot. Whether that's at center back, left center back, whether that's, I don't know, somewhere. But I that's what I think. But no, I think Chelo needs to step
Would you have Noah Allen at would you have Noah Allen at right back once Alba comes in? Is Noah Allen lefty or righty?
He's lefty. I would rather have him left center back and have Luján as right back.
Is a lefty. He's played left back, left center back, like the whole time that he's been here. I don't know how he would do on the right. I probably wouldn't put him on the right.
No.
You know,
I would play him left center back. When he played left center back, he did great in the preseason.
He did.
I thought he did amazing. And then I thought last night he did fine.
Did fine. I said he wasn't the best performance, but he certainly wasn't the worst. I looked up because I was curious, like, who are the best MLS right backs according to the internet, and I guess, you know, people's judgment, because I maybe saying you should be as good as, you know, as Trent Alexander-Arnold maybe was a little bit of a stretch. It's really interesting. According to MLS, they have him as the third best right back in the league.
Chelo. The third best right back in the league?
Mm-hmm. The first is Dessler from Austin, and then Andres Herrera, obviously, from Columbus. And then Chelo, and then they have Yaman from LA, and then Carlos Acapo from San Jose. Are we just really harsh on Chelo, or are we expecting to see more? Because that is
no, that's AI. That's an AI.
It's on MLSsoccer.com.
No, that's AI. I refuse to accept that. That's real.
I'm looking at it right now. He's the third. I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know,
that's Grok. That's the new Grok.
Maybe that's just though to show that based off of, you know, our expectations and the other way players on this team are doing, like Redondo, I think is a perfect analogy in this situation, because we're not asking Chelo to be Messi, right? Or Suarez, like, you don't have to be that. But Redondo is a great example of someone who is young and still mostly unproven, had a lot of criticism last year for, you know, having a spot almost guaranteed where you don't think he's pulling his weight. Last night, and I agree, for most of this preseason, he has been playing excellent. He's been putting in the effort. He's been in the right positions. He's made the right passes. He's stopped the right counterattacks. He's doing exactly what you're asking him to do in his position. Chelo, I think, is not. He's underperforming in terms of tracking back as a right back and for putting in good crosses and opportunities. Every single time Chelo goes attacking, I don't think it's going to work. Every single time. And that's a problem. You need to have a little bit more belief as a fan that you're going to see some more successful crosses. I don't have 1% belief that a cross is going to be successful. And that's an issue.
I think it's not just you. I think it's actually the players on the pitch too, because they almost always refuse to give him the ball. Like we've seen that. We've seen Chelo wave like this. Avilés looks at him and he's wide open and just Avilés turns to the left.
We saw that yesterday too.
Yeah, but anyways, let's move past poor Chelo. Like, I feel like I'm gonna have to change the title on this episode. It's gonna be the Chelo, whatever. I'm not even gonna say. But okay, what about Suarez? How do you guys feel about Suarez? How did you feel like he performed yesterday? Obviously, going through the preseason, he looked like he was like Mr. Potato Head, like his legs were going to fall off at any moment. And he looked like he was laboring through the preseason. What do you think?
That's how do you think he looked like? Comparing him to Trent Alexander. That was weird. Just for the record.
How do you feel looking at yesterday's game? How do you look at him, I guess, from a fitness level? How did he look and performance level? What do you guys think?
The fact that it was negative 10 or whatever degrees out and he was doing what he was doing, I'm like, okay, if he's going to do this at negative 10 degrees, then I can only assume he'll do a lot better in the actual heat or like in just better weather conditions. Overall, I don't know. I mean, like I saw Luis Suarez. He had a couple of opportunities. I think there was like two or three times. He almost scored a banger at one point in the first half. Almost, I remember that.
Yeah. Oh,
that
it looked box. So we good coming off his foot.
Yeah. And there was one where he got, I think it was right before that, he got a through ball from Messi in the box. He finessed it around. He
missed his left.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he was trying to get in the groove. There was at some point, don't know if it was later in the first half or at some point in the second half, where he completely lost it. I don't know if he was just gassed. He was tired. He was cold. It was getting to him. I'm surprised he honestly played the full 90 minutes and like didn't get subbed off until literally the 90th minute for Robert Taylor. Because I definitely thought he should have come on off 60th, 70th minute. But no, it was a very just, I guess, like two different, completely different games for Luis Suarez. But I guess just overall, I mean, like people always criticize him regardless. Like if Luis Suarez is going to be criticized forever until his deathbed, unless he scored a goal in that game. So it's like, we could have said, oh, Suarez played terribly last night. But then if he scored the goal, he did great. He did amazing. So that's just what I think.
Yeah, that's literally the difference. Which, I mean, would you be okay if he played, if basically the strategy was always have him play 60 to 70 minutes and then bring in a fresh, young...
If it calls for it, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, especially in the situation last night, because he was gone. Like, he was literally...
Yeah.
He didn't want to play. Like, he couldn't play anymore after the 67th minute. So it's like, we have to have taken him off. But I'm assuming, I don't know if Mascherano or... We were assuming that he was just going to do something magically at some point, maybe later on in the game, but it didn't happen. And that's just, I guess, a gamble that they're willing to take. But I would prefer to take him off in the 70th minute, bring on somebody like, whether that's Robert Taylor, Fafa, Leo Afonso, like literally anybody to get some fresh legs in there.
Or maybe Obando, if he ever shows up, the young kid from Ecuador, which it looks like he may. And I got to agree with you. I think the key point here between what type of conversation we're having today or anybody else is if one of those two goals go in. Like, those were very close. What about you, Ash?
You know, honestly, I was pretty impressed with his, for at least the first 60 to 70 minutes, with his work rate and the effort in that condition. Like, He didn't seem as slow as normal, but maybe that's because everyone else was slower because it was so cold. So maybe it's just like perception. But yeah, he had a couple good chances. You'd like one of those to go, you know, to you'd expect him to probably finish based on his career and how he normally plays. But I wasn't watching the game and going like, oh my God, Suarez is completely ruining everything. And, you know, he's so much worse and he's so old compared to everyone else. Like, I wasn't feeling that way. I thought he was fine for the first game of the season. I thought it was difficult conditions. I thought, you know, Mascherano was very similarly thinking, you know, we only have a 1-0 lead. We've made it to this point. I would rather, you know, he doesn't look like he's belaboring, or maybe he feels like a little bit better compared to the normal fatigue from the heat or something like that. You know, I understood why he stayed in the game. I was fine with it. I think if we go 5 or 6 matches and we don't see a goal and we, you know, and then you start to have more questions, but I thought he did fine yesterday. He didn't do anything that made me go like, oh no Suarez, you know, it was fine.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree with you both. I think he had an overall normal game, nothing bad. And to what Matt said earlier, he got himself into two goal scoring positions in which he almost scored. I think, again, to what we said at the beginning of this episode, is take everything that we saw yesterday with a grain of salt, and just knowing these guys aren't as well oiled machine as they usually are. We haven't had a single MLS season game yet. So Suarez didn't look bad. He looked his normal self. And I think that if he continues to get himself into these goal scoring positions, which is what's most important, and continue to facilitate the offense, make, you know, at times be a holding forward where people can play off of him and he can make plays for others, I think that we'll be in a good spot. And hopefully he'll continue his goal scoring run that he had last season, which was really outstanding. But yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you guys want to cover? I feel like we've basically covered everything in what was a interesting and game, but not that much happened. And we were able to get some really good nuggets, I think, out of this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely an interesting start to the season. We'll take the win. We'll take an incredible Messi goal. We'll take no injuries, right? Those are the three things going into that match. Those are the only three things you could want. And they worked out. I would say before we go really quickly, if we want to give our predictions for Saturday, it's going to be the first MLS match this season. Obviously got bumped to 7:30, which people are upset about it. I understand you wanted to kick off. From a South Florida standpoint, I don't know, like, better to play at 7:30 than 2:30. Okay.
I think people were ready to be under the sun, grilling. The sun? Like, everybody was ready for like a Saturday afternoon.
Like a day party. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was
there's also, for those that maybe aren't aware, there's also a Fort Lauderdale women's game. That a lot of people wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And now, at least that's what I was seeing on socials. A lot of people were happy to be able to go to an Inter game and then just go to the women's game. Yeah. And Fort Lauderdale, unfortunately, now they're not going to be able to do that. So, but I mean, I don't know. I'm one of those that if you can get a soccer game in and then have, you know, fit more stuff into the weekend, I'm all good for that. Mm-hmm. But for me, like they say in Spanish, ni fu ni fa. Bro, whatever it is, I'll be there. Like, you know, whatever time. So,
but you guys think that couple of hour difference is going to be like, do you think that's going to make a difference? Like, in terms of.
I don't. I was also thinking the same thing. I'm like, does 5 hours really move the needle? Like, I understand the day, right? But 5 hours, we'll see. I just wasn't sure if it really moved the needle that much. Like, was it worth to not be the opening game for the MLS season, which I know again is, I think for Inter Miami is important. Was it worth it? I don't know. Hey, maybe it was Messi, man. Maybe him.
Messi told him to reschedule.
Yeah, he normally Messi causes told him, that so guy, many problems.
Man, that guy is something else, man.
I think it honestly could have been weather related, like from a physio standpoint, where they're like, they don't want to go from extreme cold to extreme heat in the sun. I don't know. I think there could have been some things. I think it's neither here nor there in the end, you know, like you said, it is what it is. But all right, score predictions. I'll go first. I think Inter Miami will win 2-0.
Oh, another
clean sheet. No other context.
Oh.
I think we're going to keep playing strong and everyone is going to be so happy that it's not -7 degrees that we're going to see like prime Barcelona 2009, because everyone's going to be so happy that they're warmer.
I like it. I like it. I like the two goals. I like the clean sheet. This is an NYCFC team that we just can't seem to get a win out of. I think we've only beat them one time, I think ever, like in the whatever amount of games that we've ever played. Right. But I am so excited to go on Saturday and kick their butt. I'm saying we're going to beat them 3-1. 1,000%. I think. I think it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be an absolute. It's going to be amazing.
Goal fest. I love
it. It's an absolute goal fest.
I really like those optimistic scores. And as a fan, I would love to see that. I definitely would. I'm just going to go because it's the first game of the season, and because they're still trying to figure things out. I'm going to go with maybe a more conservative scoreline just to kind of even things out. Look, I think it's going to be. Maybe a wait. Okay, hold on. You said 2-1, Ash, right?
And then you said
2-0. Okay, and you again, Matt, remind me.
I said 3-1.
3-1. Okay, I'm gonna go with 2-1 then. I'm gonna go 2-1. I think this Inter Miami defense is better, but how about this? Let's make it exciting. If Maxi Falcón is in, it's 0. If Maxi Falcón is not playing, I think New York will get a goal, so it'll be 2-1. That's where I'm going.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, maybe we should keep tally this year. We did last year. Gian went on such a run last year. Like, he was crazy in the middle, like, during the summer. I remember he went like 4 or 5 matches in a row getting the score correct. It was
That was nuts.
No, we got to make it a game. We're gonna make it a game.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, I think it's been a good episode. I think we're ready to wrap it up. First, I don't want to say first episode of many, but the first official, the three of us, Messi and Co, season three. Inter Miami started off strong with a 1-0 victory in very difficult conditions for CONCACAF Champions Cup, with, of course, a goal from the one and only Lionel Messi. We have a very exciting season ahead of us. I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and that is Matt, and we will see you next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.